Welcome, everyone. Good to see you all joining us. Thank you for being here from wherever you are. I know we have people coming from far away and from close by also. So thank you for joining us for our first Thursday of the month, World Peace Meditation Gathering. This is Thursday, June 5th, 2025. It's been a wonderful month, right, for everybody, I hope. And we will go ahead and get started. So for those of you who may be joining us for the first time, if it's possible, some of you, we don't go more than an hour on this one, and we usually begin by taking a little time in silence and a guided meditation, and then open it up for conversation. If you have any concerns, questions, or wonderful news you'd like to share with the community, it's definitely welcome. We started this during the dark days of the COVID pandemic, and we're just continuing because it seems like it's really important to keep a spiritual perspective through thick and thin here, through whatever's happening, to remember that there's always another way to frame everything. So, all right, why don't we go ahead and get started? And I want to thank Lisa Wong for being the co-host and letting people in. And we do have the chat open if you have anything you want to share, either privately or with everyone, that's fine. The piece that we just heard, that was from our Islands of Light album, and it was a song of B flat. Maybe I'll talk about that. I mean, some of you have read the book, so you know the story behind that one, Song of B flat. So let's go ahead and start our meditation time. So feel free to either have your cameras on or off. We do ask that the microphones be off for this, and we'll go ahead and get started, and then we can come together afterwards. So we'll begin our time of meditation. With every breath now, as we breathe together, we open our hearts to the feeling of joy and gratitude that we have for this precious opportunity to be born on this beautiful earth, to be able to be a force of kindness and respect and love and caring and to awaken ever more fully to the truth of our self-nature. And so we begin our time by opening to the reality of this present moment, the only holy moment is this moment right now, which is ever present, the past and future do not exist except as concepts, memories, this moment is the heart of being and of freedom. So we plant the seed of loving kindness for all living beings in the soil of our consciousness, knowing that there is one life animating all manifestations. We give thanks for the beautiful expressions of life on this earth all around us, for all the animals celebrating their lives in nature, for all the human beings, our brothers and sisters, all of us on the journey of discovery, the adventure of developing our wisdom and understanding. And we send our love and prayers for healing now to all those who are in situations where they are suffering, all the animals who are being imprisoned for food, for research, entertainment, or other products, we send our love and wishes that they may be liberated from the causes of suffering. To all the human beings who are in difficulties, and all the other beings in all the dimensions, we send forth our heartfelt love and compassion, joy and peace. And we allow our heart now to fill with gratitude for all the teachers in our life, and for all of the wisdom that we have been able to glean from all the wisdom teachings. And we give thanks for the communities of kindness and caring that we have discovered, we give thanks for everyone in our World Peace Diet circle, for everyone in the animal liberation movement, and in all of the movements for freedom and harmony, for justice and peace, for health. In awareness. And now we join together, knowing that our thoughts and feelings have a reality, that we are profoundly interconnected with the whole web of life. And so we join together now to radiate into the infinite web of relations, the truth. Of our feelings of loving kindness, compassion, joy, and peace. So with every inhalation now, we engender the feeling of love in our hearts, feeling of benevolence and goodwill for all humans and animals and all beings. And with every exhalation, we radiate this feeling of love in all directions simultaneously, like a great expanding sphere of light, breathing and radiating love for all beings, excluding no one. Even those who are difficult or challenging for us, we send them love just as enthusiastically as everyone else. Radiating the light of love and kindness for all living beings, including ourselves. A unique and beautiful being that we are, knowing that what we are is eternal consciousness that was never born and will never die, functioning through a physical form. Radiating love to all expressions. And with every inhalation now, we engender in our heart the feeling of compassion. This is the great compassion that yearns to help others, to help relieve the suffering and delusion, the causes of suffering in the world. So with every exhalation, we radiate compassion in all directions. May all beings be free of suffering and the causes of suffering. Breathing and radiating compassion. Abiding in our true home of compassion and understanding. And with every inhalation now, we engender in our heart the feeling of joy. The great joy that is the essence of life, of understanding and wisdom of our true nature. The joy that needs no outer reasons. And with every exhalation, we allow this feeling of joy to overflow from our heart, filling the whole world, the whole universe, with the light of joy breathing and radiating joy from our true home of joy. And now finally, with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of harmony and peace. We are home. No matter what the outer appearances may indicate, we are always at peace. So with every exhalation now, we allow this feeling of peace that is our true nature to flow forth like an ever-expanding sphere of light, bringing peace to the entire world. This is the great peace of our true nature, of our mind and heart, when we are at home in loving kindness, in compassion, in joy, in gratitude. We are at peace. And so now we radiate peace and see the whole earth radiant, shimmering, abiding and established always in the truth of peace, harmony, beauty, we bring our attention into our heart, filled with love, compassion, joy, and peace that we are shining not only into our own life and into the lives of our friends and neighbors, but all living beings. And give thanks for all of the efforts that we have been guided to make in this lifetime. All the efforts that have brought us to this particular point in our life on this fifth day of June 2025. We give thanks to the infinite spirit within us, which is us, inspiring us, guiding us, our intuition and wisdom, our inner guidance system, revealing to us ever greater secrets of wisdom and understanding with which we may be of benefit to others, be more creative and understanding. So as we begin now to close our meditation time, we give thanks for each other and for the opportunity we have both together and as individuals to sow the seeds and to harvest the fruits in the garden of our daily lives and to share them with others. We learn from the beauty of the birds and squirrels and spiders and all the creatures, the sunrises and sunsets, the stars, the web of life, and our interactions with each other. May we, each and every one of us, continue every day to unfold ever new dimensions of understanding and peace, to contribute to the healing of our world, and may we continue to contribute to the awakening of human consciousness, to evolve beyond the delusion of domination and exploitation of animals and nature and of each other, to once again reestablish ourselves in the seat of our true awareness. So we give thanks knowing that the door is always open to a positive future for all of us, and that together we are bringing that into fruition. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate your participation in our time of meditation together. It's really, again, as I say, it's an honor to be with you and to share this time together. And there's words, there's music, there's this connection we have through the technology that has been developed. And I think the underlying foundation of that, of course, is our consciousness and the capacity that we have to quiet the mind and to free ourselves from the tyranny of our conditioning and our indoctrination. That's really the game here. More than anything, I think it's to learn to quiet the mind, and instead of grasping at what we think we should be doing, to listen within and to allow ourselves to be guided by the eternal dimension of our true nature, which is really the North Star, I guess you could say. It's the It's the guiding principle. And if we are able to develop that as the months and weeks and years go by, then I think we're less likely to be fooled by the massive deceptive forces that are arrayed right now against humanity. It's not easy. It's definitely helpful to do our best to create relationships and communities and so forth. But ultimately, each one of us is responsible for the quality of our unique consciousness, our choices, our awareness, our relationships. And that's a great thing. And as Thoreau said, out on Walden Pond, just he can think of nothing more, encouraging that each one of us can, by our own efforts, raise our awareness. So thank you all for the efforts that you're making to raise your awareness. It's really the most precious gift we can give to the world and to others, is the effort to climb out of the delusion that we've been kind of thrown into by just being born into this society, being raised where we're eating animals and competing for not only money, but for attention, usually. So thank you all. So this is your time. We have a nice amount of time ahead of us. If you have any questions, concerns, or anything, please raise your hand. I see that our good friend Tammy up in Canada has her hand raised. So, yes, Tammy, if you'd like to say something, or we'd be delighted to hear from you and anyone else. If you have any comments or questions, this is a great time to bring them up.
Thank you. Thank you, Al.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay. For being here. I guess my question is either using our vibration, raising our awareness, is I still find myself emotionally eating, you know, and stuff that, you know, isn't the best and fun. And I just ponder sometimes whether it's more helpful to acknowledge it, just bring it to the awareness and then just go back, as opposed to spend too much time building anything around it or any judgment around it.
So you're, just to let you know, your connection,
you.
I think, is a little...
I'm just talking about stuff in general, like doing stuff that's not in our highest vibration, maybe not in the highest consciousness.
Uh-oh. We just lost Tammy, I think. Yeah, her connection was kind of tenuous there. She's way up in the north woods of Canada, so I think it's amazing we get anything at all. But I could hear her question. Maybe she'll come back and we can address it. I think it's... Oh, wait.
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Yeah. So, Tammy...
I had to go to a different place in the house. So, I catch myself... You know, under times of stress, just eating vegan food that's not necessarily my highest vibration, or just even doing things. Like, I mean, I work really hard, but sometimes I just find myself not necessarily doing things that are going to increase my vibration. So I'm just feeling on this path of awareness. Is it better to really look at it deeply, or to just bring awareness to it and be able to release it, you know, just and get back, you know, on the path?
Right. You know, I think each one of us is a unique constellation of, of tendencies. And so some people tend to be overly self-critical. And so for those kind of people, the teacher would say, you know, don't be so hard on yourself. Just be aware. Other people tend to be, like, not self-critical enough. And a teacher would say, you know, you should really be a little more self-critical there. You should really kind of be in the sense of, sort of take yourself in your own hands and be responsible about how you're living, what you're eating, and how you're doing. So it's kind of funny. Like, it's like if someone's walking down the road and the teacher will say to one, person, well, you know, go left, go left, and say to the other one, go right, and you think, oh, this teacher doesn't know what he's talking about. He's saying, go left, go right, you know. But it really depends on the person, I think. So I hate to make a statement, a general statement, because I think, you know, in general, in our society, I mean, well, there's a lot of different tendencies, but there's a lot of emphasis, I think, in our society on on self-indulgence, like we're kind of encouraged to indulge, to kind of, you know, just have the best, you know, you deserve it, you know, be proud of yourself, have what you want, and eat, it's okay, don't worry about it, it's good. You can always, you know, tomorrow you can eat healthier or whatever. So I think it's good to be aware of those things, and I think also it's good to be aware that some people are raised, like, as I said earlier, more where they're taught to just always feel like no matter what they do, it's not good enough. So again, I think it's good just to, I mean, the main thing is to bring awareness. You know, the more we can bring awareness to anything, then the more liberated we are. And like, I think in my case, probably I tend to maybe have a lot, maybe too much sort of, in some ways, discipline. Like I, you know, and Matt, I think Madeline's somewhat similar. So we have to watch that we're not like just totally not ever relaxing or something like that. But except, you know, we do our meditation. But I think overall, the primary thing is to feed the, what in Buddhism is called bodhicitta, you know, feed the enlightened mind. Just keep feeding the enlightened mind. Keep feeding the yearning within to awaken. Keep that alive. Keep that going. And that'll cut through everything. You know, that, because, you know, why are we on this earth? You know, that's the question. And I think no one can ignite in someone else a sense of yearning and diligence, really. That has to come from within ourselves. And it's a great gift, you know. It's I think I talked about this a few months ago at some point. When, you know, the very last thing the Buddha said before he passed on was, "Work out your own salvation with diligence." You know, that's it. I mean, don't expect anybody else is going to do it for you. And if we don't take responsibility ourselves, no one else really will. So only I know really the quality of my own consciousness and where I'm actually not being honest and truthful and authentic and all these things. So it's really up to me to be aware of that. But the idea is that our ego can turn anything into a way to reinforce itself. So that's why I think meditation is critical, you know, because the idea is to quiet the mind so that something beyond the sense of a separate self is liberating us. And it actually brings up something that I wanted to talk about, actually. So maybe I'll use this as an opportunity. Andy, if you don't mind just waiting for a second.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say thank you, Will. That was a really good point, because some of us are really hard on ourselves. And in order to look at it deeply, we need to release a little bit of that. And then for me, I tend to be able to let go of things really easily and maybe too quickly. So I think that was a really valid point. So thank you.
You're welcome, Tammy. Thank you. Yeah, something I wanted to share with everyone this time, because it kind of hit me the other day. And what it is the difference between the spiritual path, which is the path of unfolding in harmony with our true nature and with the benefit of all of us as interconnected. And the other path, which I guess you could call, what do you call it? I mean, the path of delusion, of the sort of satanic or demonic or fiendish sort of self-centeredness, that I'm going to get what I want, even if it means hurting others. The bacon tastes good, I'm going to eat it. Or I'm going to get that job even if I have to lie to get it, you know, this whole thing. So there's this tremendous tension in our lives and in our society between these two tendencies. And one of them, the core word for one is love. The core word for the other is, it sounds almost the same. It's like a very similar word. The core word for the other is lust. These are the two, love and lust. And the thing is that with love, the basic tendency is to give and to bless and to see the best in others, to cultivate a sense of kindness and compassion and caring. And that's really the path of what veganism is all about. You know, veganism is ahimsa. It's based on love, on caring, kindness, looking deeply beyond appearances. Our culture, in many ways, is set up to indoctrinate us into to increasing lust. And this is, I want to get something. I'm yearning for something. I want more. I need to go to battle. I know my life becomes a battle to acquire possessions. my possessions are my bank accounts, my house, my great relationships, or my titles that I have, all these things. But it's all based on lust, on the self-getting. And I read this really one sentence the other day that kind of ties in with this. I don't know if you've ever heard of a spiritual teacher back in the 40s and 50s. His name was Joel Goldsmith, and he wrote a book called The Infinite Way. Anyway, in this book, he had this sentence. I think I kind of memorized it because I thought it was so good. The sentence was, "Security." Let's see. How does it go? Security cannot be found in personal possessions, even though the battle to acquire them has been won. I just love that. Security cannot be found in personal possessions, even though the battle to acquire them has been won. You know, in many ways, I think our life is a battle to acquire personal possessions. You know, if we can just, this is the underlying thing that we can acquire and we can acquire all these different possessions. And yet, the great pain of all of that is that there's essentially no security in that. Security actually only comes when we let go and we realize we are infinite eternal consciousness that cannot actually ever be harmed, and we're here to bless others, and we are essentially undamageable. So I think, but that the words don't really do it justice. But the awareness, and what I think we begin to realize is that whatever we get through desires really are empty, and yet if we cultivate our consciousness, the quality of our mind, that we unfold possibilities of joy that are beyond the wildest dreams of whatever we could get by spending money or having sex or eating some kind of great food or having everybody cheer us for something or whatever it is, whatever we think we dream of that would be the greatest thing. It totally pales and disappears when compared to the spiritual joys that are actually ever always available to us when we come home to our true nature, when we quiet the mind, basically, and look deeply into our true nature and into the true nature of others. So I think this idea of love and lust and to what degree we are feeding this tendency within us to love or to lust, to want something, to see others as objects that can help us fulfill our desires. And that's very, it's rampant. You know, that's what we're taught that it's encouraged in many ways. So I think that's something to see in this question that Tammy raised, like what's motivating me in the moment, and to just be aware and see if we can bring ourselves into alignment with the spiritual path of love for the being that we are. And I think, you know, eating healthfully is very loving to the being that we are, the physical being that we are, as well as others, of course. All right, so that's what I wanted to say. Andy, you had your hand up, so I'm happy to. And, of course, Tammy, if you have anything more you want to, you're always welcome. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi. Okay, so I'm always grateful to be here, and I'm hoping I'm not saying anything that should be saved for the third Thursday of the month. But I know people talk about going within. For me, the best way I can go within, I find, is by journaling. And I'm finally doing some of that now, as I'm in an Airbnb in Arizona, taking the first break I've had, and I can't remember when. And so I've got my laptop here. I can sit here and journal and just sort of get through everything. Again, that's the closest I can do to meditation. Or at least in certain ways, thinking through my thoughts. And I have this friend that she's not vegan, not animal rights, but she has a couple of grand dogs that she loves, but, you know, believes in the whole meat and everything. But I met her through the Freedom Community, and I'm getting so frustrated with, you know, I talk with her about what's going on in the world, and she's, again, I met her through the Freedom Community, and it's like all of these people in the Freedom Community sort of quit, you know, except for some people, obviously, you're still speaking up, your book and all of these things. But it's like now that masks are no longer required, they're like, oh, well, we're okay now. And when I was in Encinitas in San Diego, and now that I've come to where I lived for 20 years, this city also does not even resemble what it used to look like when I lived here. So, you know, so I talk to this friend and I tell her, you know, about these whole changes. And of course I'm getting stressed because they're completely redesigning the cities, building these 15-minute cities and not, of course, announcing them. And she keeps saying to me over and over again, just go within. Don't pay attention to that out there. Just go within. And I'm like, you know, here I am out there stopping the construction workers, giving them my flyer, explaining to them what they're doing. Wherever I go, I'm educating people, and I feel like we have to stand up. We've got to join together and educate, just like I was and still am with vegan activism. You know, I feel like the only way to teach people is to connect with people and talk with them, or if you have resources, flyers or whatever it is. And Will, you're on every one of my flyers, whether it's for Freedom or vegan or whatever, so they're always getting that. You're posted on my windshield with everyone else. But I'm finding myself getting really angry. Like, if I hear her or anybody else say one more time, just go within, I'm like, I don't want to go within. I'm like, world, wake up. And I want to educate and join together with everyone. And she believes everything's going to be fine if you just go within. And I don't know where you're at or other people here, but I compare it to if someone's wants to go get a job or get a career or whatever they want to do in life, they have to take action. They can't just go within and pray. There's got to be action behind it. I mean, am I nuts or what? I just, like, going within is not going to get you from here to a mile away. I don't know. So that's where I'm thinking we have to take action, right? Am I going nuts? She thinks the whole world's going to wake up if we just go within. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think that's a great question. Yeah, you really did a good job, I think, Andy, kind of giving a concrete example. Although I don't know this woman at all, what she really means by going within. But there's, I think, you know, we're a human being. And so a lot of people use that to say, you know, we're spending so much time doing, we should spend more time just being. You know, we have to reconnect with ourselves, reconnect with our true nature, and so forth. On the other hand, a human life is a life of action. We're here to act. We're here, we have hands and we have abilities to speak, to all the things in our society, to write and so forth. So we're here to act. And the problem, of course, is that in our society, we tend to be more indoctrinated to be always outwardly going, always trying to do something, always acting. And so she sounds like she has sort of rebelled against that for whatever reasons. It can be, there's lots of different reasons, lots of different levels of motivation. One can be doing it out of a really authentic spiritual necessity, or it can be just I don't want to deal with that, so I'm going to just pretend it doesn't exist, like an ostrich, you know, sticking my head in the sand and pretend that I can't, then everything's fine, you know. So I think, you know, the great spiritual teachers, from my point of view, really exemplified both capacities. You know, they really did their best to deepen their understanding through introspection and through self-inquiry, and also to just be of service, to get out and not be self-centered. Like, oh, I just care about my own consciousness. The world can, it'll be all right if I just. That's a pretty tempting trap to fall into, I think. And you know, I remember when I was I was with some people, and when I was getting my PhD at Berkeley, and I had to write I had to do a lot of writing, a lot of different, you know, papers and things, and. This person said, well, don't worry. And that paper is going to get written. You know, you don't have, you know, we have to do something now. And I said, yeah, it's going to get written, but that means I have to write it. It's not going to just get written. That was before AI, you know. but anyway, you know, so it's like we are the ones who are called. That's why I think it's so important for us who are on, you know, on the vegan path and also the health freedom movement to do the best we can to be educators, you know, to help bring forth what we've understood. And in any society, it's really, especially the elders, are expected to, people look up to them for their example and for their wisdom. And again, our society's gotten so unraveled that elder wisdom has gotten kind of lost. And the elders themselves have gotten lost too. So it's up to us, I think, to do the inner work. I think, you know, that's essential, because otherwise we go out, we start acting, and we making it worse. You know, we think we're right, but I appreciate your passion for action personally. I think, it's a very, very healthy, you know, to try to help, you know, plant seeds in people's consciousness of things that are against the agenda that's being rolled out. The agenda's being rolled out. People are being indoctrinated into a way of seeing and thinking, and it's painful to go against that in a lot of ways. To get up and say, "Look, everybody, they're making these 15-minute cities." You know, I did it the other day. You know, I did this video on, you know, questioning climate change. And I'm going to do more of that. And I know it's just, it's like, just people are going to say, oh, now he's gone down the wrong path, and, you know, blah, blah, you know, all these things. But I just feel like I'm responsible to say something. And I have a certain, you know, platform capacity to do that and reach people. So, and I talked about the 15-minute cities. You know, I said, this is, we think that climate change is, even if we start questioning it, we should be thinking, like, why is this narrative completely unquestionable? Like, why, if any scientists question climate change, they're immediately censored and shut down, and they don't get their articles published. And it's really because of 15-minute cities. I mean, the idea is you just with climate change, you can't travel. You've got to stay where you are. And that's what animal agriculture is. You stay to cows and pigs and chickens. You can't go anywhere. You just got to stay right here. Just stay here. Just wait. You know, we'll take care of you. You can't go anywhere. You know, it's putting up a fence. As soon as you put up a fence, you put people into a prison. And now we have the technology through digital tracking and everything else, and creating actual cities that seem to be free, except when you try to go outside of them and suddenly your car won't go, or you're not allowed, you can't spend any money, you can't buy gas outside that area. So I think it's essential. I mean, if we don't stand up and say something, there's nothing going to stop the forces that are at work doing this, right? They're obviously moving ahead. But I also think that it's essential that we do the inner work so that we are not hysterical about it or afraid about it. See, I think, yeah. You know, have a bigger view, like to realize, you know, I mean, I spent so many decades marinating in Eastern traditions of reincarnation and rebirth or whatever, that this is a life, here we are, they're doing this. All right, let's help. Let's try to, you know, save this situation for the future generations. But to do it with a sense of a bigger frame, so that we're not just angry. You know, anger is a real problem, I think, and anger kind of works against our well-being physically, mentally. So to have an understanding that, yeah, this is happening, but we don't have to be afraid. See, I can be standing right next to a cliff, but I don't have to be afraid. It's just like, I just don't step off it. It's there, you know, but I don't have to be like, oh, you know, we're aware of danger, but we don't have to cultivate this fear. And fear very often gives rise to anger because we're mad that somebody did something. And that they're, you know, they're going to hurt us, or they're going to hurt people we love, and so forth. And it's, I think, all of that, we have to have an understanding and then act, do what we can as best we can, but without anger. So anger is exclusive, you know, it's excluding others, and it's poisonous, really, ultimately. And there's an interesting article, I have it in the notes for this month, which I haven't sent out. Have I sent out? No, I'll send it out before the third Thursday. But it's an article on some research done on anger and venting. And basically venting anger, the research shows very clearly, it just increases the anger. It just makes it bigger. You know, it just increases it. And some people, you know, vent by yelling or whatever. Some people vent by saying, okay, I'm angry, I'm gonna run, I'm gonna chop wood, I'm gonna hit a punching bag, I'm gonna, you know, whatever. All of those just increase the anger. They just make it bigger. So the best approach is really what the ancient wisdom teachers always said, which is mindfulness. Just watch it. Just be aware. And when we cultivate understanding for ourselves and others, then the anger doesn't even come up after a while. I mean, we begin to realize, you know, people are programmed, they're doing what they're told, and what we are, but the thing is, that's why I have to say meditation is important, because if the mind gets quiet, we can realize that we're the sky, we're not just the little cloud, and what we're afraid of, it really can't ultimately touch us. We exist on a whole other dimension of consciousness, ultimately. And we can get a taste of that when our mind gets quiet. It's very hard when the mind isn't quiet to actually have a direct experience of that. But it's there. And I think we all know, we all remember it from the time before we were born. So, you know, we go back there again, and we'll be more alive then than we are now. So I think that, you know, just, yeah, keep up the great work you're doing. That's all I can say. I mean, I'm delighted you're spreading the word, but try not to get angry. And try to see that, you know, there's a system unfolding, and ultimately it's not going to win. I mean, ultimately truth will win, but it means us doing something to, we have to do, we have to do the inner work and the outer work together. Those are like the two wings of the bird. They both go together. Yeah. They feed each other. They nurture each other. If we don't do the outer work, then very often there's no motivation to do the inner work. So they really support each other.
You know what? Thank you so much for, and on both issues, because it's reminding me of the anger, because like Mark Passio, I love him. I absolutely love him. And he's vegan for the whole ethical reasons, but I don't promote him as much because he yells and he's angry. And I don't think people can hear him as easily. Whereas I promote you or Larkin Rose, or, you know, your personalities are very easy to listen to and watch. Mm-hmm. So this was a very good reminder for me. And thank you also for saying that, yes, we need to take action also, because I think my talking with her, I just kept sensing, you know, she's almost like saying no action is needed, just go within, like, you know, and I'm like, no, we need to take action. So, yeah, this was just what I needed to hear. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Andy. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're getting a little close to the end of our time. Ann, you had your hand up for a while also. Would you like to share something?
Sure. Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. In a way, it's related, because I recently read a book by Byron Katie, who has a method of inquiry. And it was almost... There's some similarity to the question, really, like, because she is so, you know, once she had her profound revelation, it's like, she says, unexamined thoughts cause all suffering. And it's a confused mind that perceives suffering or perceives or project. It's like our minds that project an unkind world. I just don't, that can't be right. I mean, but it must be true, but not true at the same time. Uh-huh. Because if I were in that state and I just realized my mind is projecting this all, there are still animals going to slaughter. Like, and then she says something about eating hot dogs. It's like, oh, right. Okay. So, how is there any way to resolve that contradiction? I mean, on some level, is it true that, like, our minds are just projecting all this? But, like, if you believe that, then will you just change your projection? You don't need to. I mean, you could come to that same place. What do I need to act for? It's just my mind projecting. So.
Yeah, it's that's a good question, and I think it's similar to what we were just talking about with Andy. There is, you know, one can go to this non-dual place and say that everything is an illusion. Nothing exists outside of our consciousness, and I'm projecting it because it's arising in my consciousness. Each one of us lives in our own bubble, basically. And but again, that's an unbalanced, I think, anyway, that's an unbalanced view. It's, I write about this somewhat in my book, The Food for Freedom, that there's a tendency among people who think they're sort of enlightened. They had some kind of spiritual experience and they feel like they're, you know, sort of enlightened. They think that since everything is divine, they can eat a hot dog or they can eat a celery, or, you know, and if you make a distinction between those two, that's, you're just, you know, then you're just deluded, or you're an arising in my mind that's deluded or whatever. So and it's funny because, you know, a lot of the health freedom people and a lot of the spiritual people just still eat animal foods, you know, and seem to be fine with it. And I think it's still a misunderstanding, you know, which is understandable. I mean, we're living in this culture where everyone's eating animal foods, and it's hard to question, especially if you want to, you know, make good money as a spiritual teacher and have, you know, get interviewed on TV and have a lot of people buy your books. It's much better to say things that they like than say things that they don't like. Gosh. And so it's, there's lots of different levels to this, but basically the Tibetan, that Padmasambhava, you know, said that when the mind is as vast as space, then the attentiveness to the quality of our actions becomes as fine as finely milled flour. You know, and I think that says it all, really. If we can really penetrate deeply into that, that the more we see everything and the infinity of everything, the more we realize I'm going to act really with integrity on every the tiniest detail.
Yeah.
That goes together.
Who said that? Will, I want to remember.
That was, I'm going to make sure I'm saying this right. That was Padmasambhava. He's the Guru Rinpoche in Tibetan Buddhism. He was in the, I don't know, maybe this, what, the 8th century, I guess, Tibetan. He kind of brought Buddhism to Tibet, one of the main ones. It goes way back. It's in my book, Food for Freedom, if you
find it.
Look on that. But, yeah. All right. We're pretty much out of time, unfortunately.
Thank you.
I want to thank all of you so much for joining us. Frank Lane and April Wilson just joined right at the very end. Madeline, what do you think? Are you there? Tammy, I'm sorry you raised your hand. Do you have something that's not too long we can just to wrap up with? Or are you done? I'm not sure. So we have a kind of few new people. All right, well, why don't we...
Hello.
Here's Madeline. For those of you who are new, you maybe don't know our little ritual we have, but at the very end, we like to say the Circle of Compassion... prayer, which is compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. That's what it is. So let's unmute. You can unmute yourselves if you can, please. And we like to say this together. People from all over the world, we join our hearts and we say this together. So let's begin. Here we go. Compassion circles the earth, all beings everywhere. Okay, one final time with gusto and feeling. Compassion circles the earth, all beings everywhere. All right, everyone. Thank you so much, everyone, for joining us.
Thank you, Will. Thank you.
A wonderful month.
Thank you.
We'll see you on the third Thursday.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Bye, everyone. Love you. Thank you so much.
Bless you. Thank you. Thanks, Lisa. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you, Kenny. Good to see you all. Bye-bye. Much love. Bless you.
Om Shanti.